This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Often Everland Travel. If you're booking your next vacation, you know what to do. If you're going to be heading down to Food and Wine, it's not too late, folks. You can use them, our friends at Often Everland. Their website is gotoneverland.com. They are concierge service. They're not just Disney fans. They're Disney travel experts, and you're going to have a great time with them. Get with a magic maker, and as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
For Food and Wine, that's what we're going to be talking about right here. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, September 7th, 2016, and this is episode 1529 of WDW Today. A little special episode here, if we sound a little different. We're from an undisclosed location.
Yes.
Yes, that's Will. I'm Logan Seculo, by the way.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we are joined this whole show by your friend and mine, Mr. Len Testa. Len, welcome.
How's it going, gentlemen?
This is going to be the greatest episode of WDW Today.
Bar none.
Yeah, period.
Best show ever.
This is how we roll here, 9 months in on this cast. This is what we do. All right, so we had a special opportunity. So as you probably saw in the title, we're going to preview a lot of what's going on at Food and Wine and really answer some questions you guys had about Food and Wine as it starts here in just a couple weeks. But you know, the four of us had the opportunity to sample something special. And since Will, you're from the podcast.
That's right. We're in the podcast studio right now, Which is a separate studio.
Yes, but we had the opportunity to sample something from our friends at La Cava de Tequila, our favorite stop at Walt Disney World at Epcot, even not during Food and Wine.
Right.
And if you haven't gone to La Cava, even bring your kids. Let them have some chips and salsa. Enjoy yourself. It's always a blast, and the people there are just so great. But we had the opportunity to sample what they're rolling out for Food and Wine. I'm going to say it's the official beverage, the official WDW Today beverage of Food and Wine. So
I'm fine with calling it that.
It's
the Casa Noble Tequila. This is an extra añejo single barrel, and it's their single barrel select. So they sent down a team to the Casa Noble distillery in Tequila, Mexico.
Yeah.
And so they have a nice, beautiful single barrel select of the extra añejo expression of Casa Noble Tequila.
And most of the stuff they have is single barrel, so it's really stuff you only can get if you're a tequila. You can only get if you go to La Cava. But this one specifically, and we'll remind you at the end what it's called, because I want you guys to have it. If we enjoy it, hey, who knows? We're gonna try it out. I have a feeling we're gonna like it. And if we enjoy it, we wanted you guys to take pictures with it, order it, make sure you tell them you heard about it right here on WDW Today. But guys, I guess, As why don't you all have, I know, now Lynn, I know you've already sampled. So as you,
Lynn has no self-control.
No, I'm not surprised. The text we were getting at 9:30 in the morning, we're only great because of this. So Lynn, you're more of a tequila person, probably the three of us. So as we sample our first sip here, tell us your thoughts about this.
So first of all, it's very smooth. So generally speaking, I specialize in extra añejo tequilas. It's generally the drink that I will pick up everywhere. My goal is to go through every single distillery's offerings for each of these. And basically, they break down into like three sort of flavor profiles. One is like a honey or butterscotch. Another one is like strong cigar or cinnamon. And the third would be like a cherry cordial flavor. So the example of the cherry cordial would be like a Cabo Wabo añejo or extra añejo. An example of a cinnamon or cigar one would be something like Reserva de la Familia. And then Casa Noble would be a good example of the first one, the butterscotchy or sort of honey flavored one. So super smooth.
Yeah.
Definitely not the kind of tequila you drink in college.
Which most likely was not actual tequila, because it probably was grain spirits with tequila flavoring in it. It's got to be 100% day agave, agave azul, so blue agave if you want it to be real tequila.
I want to know how many people have already turned off WDW Today this week. Like, what's happening?
Well, this is the only episode Lynn and I are going to listen to a bunch of times over and over again.
This is just fantastic. And as Lynn said, like, we all just had, I'll save mine because I have the least palate probably of anybody here. So thoughts on this. Then we're going to get to some questions you guys had about Food and Wine in general.
Well, I'll jump in here. And like Lynn said, how it has kind of that butterscotch and honey. Mm-hmm. This is probably one of the more reminiscent of whiskey tequilas that you're going to have when it, because of those flavors.
See that?
It is that sweetness. It does have that traditional like kind of white pepper flavor that you get from tequila. So it still has a little bit of that spice, which is very characteristic of tequila. And I'm just loving it. It's super smooth. There's hardly any burn at all, and we're drinking it neat as you should. Yeah. Out of actually Glencairn tasting glasses, which are whiskey tasting glasses, but it gives you the same effect. Gives you the same effect. So I'm really happy with it. Extra añejo, as Lynn was saying, not a ton of different distilleries are putting out the extra añejo, because a lot of them you're going to find a lot more blanco, Reposado and añejo, but once you get to that extra añejo level, it's just aged a little bit longer.
So añejo is aged. So blanco is not aged, or aged right, up to a few months. Reposado is up to a year. Añejo is a year or so, and then the extra is two or three.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time. And of course, you know, the longer that you age it, of course, the more expensive it is, because the more distillery space it takes up.
Right.
More space in the aging, and then the more of it evaporates, you know, over time, especially if it's aged in barrels, as I believe this one is. In fact, we know the actual barrel number on this one, right?
I think we do. Yes. Yeah. And the movie told us that it was barrel number.
It's,
pulling up our notes.
Barrel 486.
So again, they're rolling that out for food and wine. And you guys did have some questions. Terry, do you want your comments in, or you should want to answer some questions, and we'll come back to your comments. Do you have any immediate thoughts?
I have some immediate thoughts.
All right.
Now, see, I'm a wine guy. So the first thing I tend to do is smell it.
Will and I just looked at each other disgustingly. No, I'm kidding. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
Did the same thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my first, I wanted to get the nose of it and see kind of what it smelled. And it definitely has, it's very sweet. It's very, I can definitely smell like those candy type notes that you're talking about. So yeah, it's very smooth. I typically don't drink things straight. Maybe because I've been drinking the wrong stuff.
We just glared again.
Wait, time out. You're putting your wine on the rocks?
No, that's absurd, Terry.
Cold, yeah.
That's called a wine cooler. But yeah, this is just, this is fantastic. I think it's it really doesn't burn at all. It's just got a nice, it's smooth, and you kind of want to, the only thing that's missing right now is Donald Duck in the background and trying to find him, you know, right now.
Yeah. So,
should I get a boat ride while we're drinking this, right?
Yes, Will and I, we've been known to do that. We usually will go get a flight at La Cava, and then we will enjoy a nice little tour of Mexico.
Yeah, the Grand Fiesta Tour after a couple Fiesta flights is much better.
It's very fun. So I'm going to say this, and then we'll kind of wrap up again about the tequila as we get later on in the show. But I could totally see why you would want to drink this at a theme park. Like, it has, it's not, like you said, no crazy burn. It has enough burn where it feels good. And I could totally see myself on a warm summer's day going inside, cool down at the Cava, and having this as a nice beverage. So I get why they're rolling this thing out for food and wine.
Or a warm fall's day.
Or a warm fall's
day. Because it is,
you know what, sorry.
It's Orlando.
Okay, come
it's
on.
Like, it's like a hug from the inside.
Exactly. What do they call that?
Kentucky hug.
Kentucky hug for those in the bourbon community. All right, let's answer some questions, and we'll come back to this, because we'll get stuck on tequila talk. But all right, let's go to Patrick Watts. He had a question about food and wine. He said, best choices for adventuresome adults with picky eating children. So are there any stands that have both foie gras and a blackberry Pinot Noir reduction in chicken nuggets? Even one of those Esplanade from each other. As I said that? I said that wrong.
I don't even know what he's asking.
He's asking, are there any good of the stands, any good options that will both satisfy your children and you, who are a little bit more on the, you're going for the craziness?
I mean, in my mind, all the food and wine is an experience for your family and yourself to be able to taste whatever. It's sort of like you just kind of walk along, and if you see something you like, you stop and you eat it. If not everybody in your party likes it, you kind of stop and then you move along to somewhere, like to the next thing your party likes. You know, we typically find little places we'll stop along the way and enjoy it. It seems like kind of, for me, always around the American Pavilion, are kind of more of the
traditional fare.
You know, you're probably not going to want to. Almost every stand, I feel like, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Lynn, but I feel like every stand or area where stands are, there's more than at least one thing that it seems like, you know, kids could get into. Because even if you go to the non-traditional food and wine, you could be sitting there in France getting my favorite, the escargot and the little crepe. Or you could be next door at the crepe stand getting just a crepe with ice cream. So
yeah, I guess that's true. Some of the more stuff that's there. There's definitely some weird stuff that I don't know. Lynn, what do you think?
There's a couple ones. I mean, one I would recommend is Brazil. They've got this Brazilian cheese bread, which, I mean, I don't know of a single kid who doesn't like cheese bread.
Right.
But the two other choices there will be crispy pork belly. Yeah, and it's done really well there. And then a layered meat pie with mashed yuca, which is a sort of fruit that is reminiscent of mashed potatoes. So two things for the adults, one thing for the kids. If the kids are even a little bit adventurous, they can either eat the mashed yuca or the layered meat pie as well. But I think that's a good choice.
All right. I think that probably answered that for
some. Yeah, it's satisfactory.
Yeah, we don't all need to chime in on these. All right, you guys want to take another question? Or how are you feeling? Feeling good?
Yeah, after you've let it sit with you, Lynn.
Lynn's been sitting with it for the last couple hours.
That's right.
I really like Casa Noble. I think they do quality stuff. Even their Blanco is very good. I don't normally drink Blancos, but because they're some of the Blancos that you get are sort of astringent or chemically right. tasting. But theirs is very smooth stuff. They've been doing really good tequilas for a long time, and I really like this one. In my tasting notes for this, because I have a journal. Particular. I compare this to the Herradura Selection Supreme, which is, I think Herradura is actually a little bit better than this one, but the price point is like five times the cost. So this isn't bad. It's sort of in the same sort of general family in terms of taste.
What's your number one go-to tequila, Lynn?
The three flavor profiles that I mentioned, if I wanted cigar or cinnamon, it is definitely the Cuervo Reserva de la Familia. I tend to like the older vintages, like the 2008s, 2009s. Family. Those are super strong. I mean, it is like drinking a cigar, but goes really well with steaks, with, pieces of meat. If I'm looking for something lighter, it's a summer. I'm going to drink it on the rocks or something like that. I do like Herradura Selection Supreme. It is super pricey, but it's very good. And I'm not a huge fan of the third favorite flavor profile, the Cabo Wabo. I drank one shot of it and gave away a bottle of it because I knew I was never going to drink the rest of it.
How pretentious of you.
I don't like things that taste like cherry cold medicine.
Yeah, cough syrup.
Right.
Cough syrup, yeah. It's the closest thing that I could compare to. Again, a cherry cordial, I understand it. It's very popular. It gets good marks. It's just not for me.
I think we found a new spinoff podcast, by the way. This is much
it's
more fun.
Time for tequila. Tequila yeah. with Lynn.
So my goal is to drink every extra añejo tequila and write notes about it.
Those are life goals. Is that a book? Is that the unofficial guide?
It'd be probably like a pamphlet,
people say those are books these days.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's ask some more questions. All right.
Yeah, Brandon's got a good question, one that I've wanted to find out myself the hard way, and I figured it out. But can dining credits be used for food and wine?
Yes. Hmm?
Yes. Snack credits.
Snacks, you can always convert counter service to snacks. I think the going rate is three snacks for a counter service. Okay. They'll tell you. You will not be the first person to ask that question, yes.
All right, Will, you want to take a question?
Yeah, I got Jackson M. Prather.
I don't think we've taken one from Jackson before.
No. What areas of the World Showcase pavilions can you carry food and drink into?
So a lot of them you can carry food and drink into. It's whether you can carry them into the...
Well, I can tell you the places I've been removed from for having a drink.
American.
American Pavilion. American Adventure.
Which seems against all things American.
Yeah, this is America. We should be able to take our food and drinks wherever we want.
My bourbon
slushy. Also, we got told to leave the China Pavilion where you go in to watch the 360 film. But so we walked out and then walked back in with our drinks behind our back, maybe. And we're able to walk.
They
right
did not seem to care.
They did tell us at first no food or drink.
So pretty much every attraction, I assume, you can't bring a food or drink into. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but what about like Japan? Can I walk through the museum? I mean, obviously Mexico, you can do everything but the ride.
Yeah, you can't go into the rides of the films.
Yeah.
But that, I think that's it.
But you can wander around with no problem. So sure. Enjoy yourself, but you may have to finish your drink before you go in.
And, you know, it's actually in Japan a better idea to, if you're getting some hot sake, wait a little bit, walk through the museum with it, so you don't burn your mouth like Logan.
Yeah, that's true. That hot. Question. I actually have a question. So other than, and I'm trying to think of this, other than the Hogwarts Express, at the theme parks in Orlando, are there any other ride you can eat and drink on? Not that I can think of. Like, where they encourage it? Like, the Hogwarts Express, they encourage it.
Because it's like a train ride.
You buy in line. You buy food and drinks for the trip. So,
wow, that's a great question.
I think we should look into that. But I think it's probably, I think I'm probably right.
Hulk.
I think it's probably Hulk.
No, you lose your food or drink.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to ride the new Hulk. All right, moving on. Let's take another question. Let's go to, this is from Tyler Wind.
Tyler Wind is a podcast listener.
Oh, Tyler. So Tyler, this is heaven for him.
Shout out to you, Tyler. Tyler's actually given us some show ideas on the podcast. Nice. So thanks to you. I raised my tequila glass.
So Tyler, this is his dream episode. He also gets to be on the show. So Tyler said, is there a touring plan specifically for food and wine? This year will be at WDW for the first time during it and not sure how to approach the event. So is there...
Pace yourself, dude. I mean, not specifically for food and wine. Because it's on World Showcase, you can really only go clockwise or counterclockwise. Right. The limiting factor is really going to be two things, the size of your stomach and the size of your wallet. Yeah.
And your patience to wait.
Yeah. Patience, yeah. I mean, let's say you're going in the middle of the day and you get there at 11 o'clock when it opens. It's a lot of food. You know, it took us 2 days the last time we ate, you know, one of everything. It took us 2 days to do it. So, you know, pace yourself. I would say, you know, look at the menus ahead of time and try and figure out what looks interesting to you. For example, I mean, Italy does great stuff. But it's, you know, Big Ziti and chicken parmesan, which you've probably had 1,000 right. times. Don't spend your time or your money on stuff like that. Japan, generally does sushi rolls. I mean, they do an interesting garlic shrimp thing, but you know, you don't want to get sushi rolls in Japan because you can go into Japan and get sushi rolls. You want to look for the stuff that's super interesting. The booths that don't represent World Showcase countries, or the special pavilions, that are first timers, there, things like the wine and dine studio, which I think is new.
And you'd be surprised how long those lines get for like the more traditional fare. Like, because I think there is that group of tourism that is like, yeah, I'll go get a gyro. Because I'm familiar with it, and the line will be gigantic, and then you'll get something interesting at like in Africa or something like that that is
two
really
people.
Great.
Yeah, no one's there.
And there's no one in line. Right, yeah. So be adventurous. If you're going to go to food and wine, and you're going to spend the money to do it, don't chicken out.
Yeah, I would say if you're not going to go for adventures, if you're not going to order adventurous things at food and wine,
don't go.
Yeah, don't go and just go to the World Showcase some other time.
And I would say, two things to really make your food and wine experience the most awesome experience it can be. One would be, like Lynn said, to go early in the day. And I would try to avoid the weekend if you can, if that's an option for you. If you're in Orlando for more than 4 days, don't make Epcot on the weekend because locals will come there in droves. And it really becomes...
It's a big locals event.
If you're going to experience some of the events, I highly recommend... the name just lost me, Lynn. The Cirque du Soleil, the event that's in the pavilion there.
The Cirque du Soleil?
there was a Cirque du Soleil performance at, what is that experience called, Lynn? You know what I'm they do the tasting, it's like $150 bucks, food and wine special event.
Party for the Senses?
Party for the Senses.
Yeah,
you spend the money.
Yeah, I've spent the money for that. That's fantastic.
What
you're going to go.
I've heard them say this, but I never knew what it was.
The last time we went, you go into that place that could be a pavilion, but it's not.
Like
the Odyssey,
Wonder's Life
with Buddy.
No, you go into the pavilion that's in between Canada and it's massive,
the Millennium Village.
Yeah, there's like 4 football fields of food, basically, and food and beverage.
Gotcha.
When I was there, a bunch of celebrity chefs had tables and.
Yeah, I've seen that happening.
How much is something like that?
I think when we went, it was like $159, $169
on top of the
of your park admission.
But that's tough.
But it's all you can eat or drink. So,
in that one area, you can't go out.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, but dude, to get your money's worth on $150.
Get your money's worth on $300, really.
Yeah, $300. Yeah, you need to. I mean, you need to be having. You're not gonna eat and drink that much and then drive home.
No.
I mean, you're staying on site, yeah. And you're definitely
staying on
property. Hopefully you got a boat to catch
but
up.
But that also that. Being said, if you were to tally up how much you spend in food and wine, I spend a decent amount of money, because, and I plan for it. Like, right. I'm excited to go, because that's like my Super Bowl when it comes to Disney, is like food and wine. But, you know, to me, I feel like it may even out to not be that much more, but you got to do one or the other.
Right. Yeah. And you don't have to wait in the lines.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very controlled crowd.
See, like, to me, like, I would rather spend my day going country to country and all that, and staying in an area and eating, because tomorrow that's such part of the flair. But I knew it. The lines are killer, so I get that. All right, let's.
I'm doing a couple of the culinary demonstrations. Yeah, next when I'm there.
And look,
that should be fun. And they're only like I think $20 a pop.
Yeah, I've never done any of the special events. I've just done the food.
Dude, I remember when they were eight.
Yeah, our friends in Hanson, they do typically a whole demonstration and seminar on their Hops beer. Do you guys, and we'll go off topic, music, how often do you go to Food and Wine and go to a concert or just kind of walk by and hear it? Like, did you ever intentionally go because of the band?
I never have.
You never have?
No, never, no.
It's almost always the time year. That we end up down there is like the one time there's a band playing that I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, that's kind of like when we're down there. Away, I forget who it is.
Because I would go and see Hanson legitimately.
Oh, yeah, they're great live.
And there's a few, but it's always just like, wow, they're still
around. I've seen the Village People. Again, I was just there. I had no plan on seeing the Village People, but they were there. And I'm like, you know what? I'll go see the Village People. I had a good time. And I've also
That's also partially they put the better acts on the more busy weekends.
Yeah, and then I saw who was it else? I saw Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, and I actually loved that. And what I did there is we actually sat over in the American area where there's a lot of tables. Had dinner, listened to the music, didn't watch it, and I'd occasionally walk over if there was a song I liked, look at Mickey, say, oh, there you go, and go back. So I know they do move you along a little bit more now, but that is something you can do. All right, so if Terry, there was a challenge called out.
There was. Our folks at circa1955.com it was at the beginning of their sponsorship, and Will made a comment.
Yeah, it was somewhat tongue-in-cheek, saying...
I think it was 100% tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, if they're going to do what the park really smells like, make a sweaty tourist candle.
And I would say if they were going to release this candle, it should be called Under the Poncho.
Oh, goodness. Now, have you smelled it already?
I haven't, but I will say this about the candle. It came in a box. I wasn't going to open the box at all. But I decided I knew it had to be like a lot of packing material because it was huge. So I was like, I'll take it out. And it was literally in that setup in a bag.
I'm going to describe it. It's in a Ziploc bag sealed, but then like wrapped in a bunch of other plastic. It actually looks like it's wrapped in a poncho.
Nicole,
it's potentially hazmat.
Nicole told me it makes her like dry heave in discussion. Now to say, for our friends at Circa 1955, is this one's not going out though.
This one I don't think is going out.
This is an exclusive to WDWJ. Just like sampling the tequila. We got to sample this. If you guys want it, though, I'm sure she'll make it.
Yeah.
So reach out to Nicole. Before we get our disgusting on, make sure you check out circa1955.com. So many of you guys have, and I love supporting these kind of businesses at WDWJ. If you have one of your own, let me know. Because these kind of businesses, small businesses that support Disney love and your passion, I really enjoy working with them. And so many of you guys have subscribed. And again, that is at circa1955.com. It's a monthly candle delivery subscription service. It is about 20-ish bucks a month, and you get two full-size candles, and they smell fantastic, unlike what we're about to smell.
And perfectly with this episode, it is a food and wine-themed box coming up next.
Oh, very nice.
So, yeah.
So if you get in really quick, you should be able to.
Oh, yeah. If you get in, I think you have a couple weeks until like about the 20th, I think, is their cutoff.
All right. So you can always find that at Circa 1955, but now it's time.
For the unveiling.
Oh, gosh. Just so you guys know, we recorded this after the tequila tasting, so we weren't
I've got a bottle of water handy, just in case.
Oh, that's why they were here. I was drinking it already.
Oh, gosh.
Already? Has she even opened
it
yet?
No, it stinks. I can smell it.
How did she even make this? What did she find?
Oh!
I smell it now. That's the dog.
No, it's this.
I'll tell you what to do. Oh. I nearly threw up.
It smells like in between your toes.
This is toe cheese.
I call this chafe.
This is definitely under the poncho, though.
Oh, yeah. It smells like wet plastic, kind of. Oh, goodness. Let's burn the one tonight.
This is the perfect candle, though, to give to someone you don't like.
Terry's eyes are watering.
It's horrible. I got to get this back in the Ziploc.
Yeah, what do we do with this? You know, maybe this will be a competition. There'll be some sort of thing. We can give this away. Because, Nicole, I'm sorry. It's not staying here in the studio.
Not staying in my house.
Oh, goodness. We didn't even light the thing. Yeah. Lord, it smells horrible.
I think it's going to, like, stick to me, too.
Well, here's what I could say about this circa 1955. The lady knows how to make some candles because she nailed it. Oh, God.
It's still stuck in my nostrils.
It is. All right, guys. Well, if you don't want that, you want lovely smells like the water in Pirates of the Caribbean or amazingness like the apple pie in Philhar Magic. She has so many great smells, and we come to you each and every month. They're not that one, thank God. But you can find them at circa1955.com. And any other final thoughts before we move back on to a lovely food and wine?
No, let's get back to the show and drink some more tequila.
Back to the show.
All right, we got Vicky, and she's asking, do you know if there's an annual pass gift this year, or was there only one last year for the 25th?
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean,
haven't heard anything.
What was the gift last year?
I'm an annual pass holder. There was.
Slap in the head.
Yeah.
A price raise.
Yeah. So I guess what's coming in a month.
What was the gift? Was there a gift?
There was a gift. I forget what it is now, though.
Yeah. It left a real impression
on
everyone.
Like a wine, I think it was like a wine cork or something, like a stop or something like that. But I don't believe so because I'm an annual pass holder. I haven't heard anything. So if there is, tell us, tweet us, let us know. All right, Terry, you want to take this next one from our friend Mallory?
Our friend Mallory. Mallory is always active on the Nashville group that you're part of?
Yeah, Mallory and my wife are like legitimate friends now. Not that we're not friends with everyone, but like they don't only talk Disney with each other now.
Which is fantastic. Yeah, you know, great. Relationships being built through WDW today. What's the likelihood that Food and Wine will ever downsize regarding dates or number booths? I prefer a regular old Epcot.
Never. What? Mallory, what kind of question is that?
All right. So you know you're talking about her being friends. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No, like no, no. It's adorable. It's a legit question, right? Yeah. Because between Flower and Garden, Food and Wine, we're talking about
a big chunk.
Five or six months of the year, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Flower and Garden goes way longer than I remember it going.
They've definitely
expanded
both of them almost in a week on the front end and the back end consistently.
I mean, they've done the same thing. Look, they do the same thing with the Christmas parties and with the Halloween parties and now with Horror Nights. Everything gets expanded because if people go, they're going to have more
demand.
The
demand is there.
Yeah, so sorry, Mallory. All right, Nora, she says, I, on the other hand, would prefer Food and Wine to upsize. There's already
is this like a
competition
Facebook battle or something?
There's already a mini Food and Wine during Flower and Garden. What are the chances they'll add even more kiosks for Flower and Garden or make both longer? No idea.
I think the odds of more food kiosks is almost 100%.
Yeah, I think the odds are ever in your favor, Nora. I think
I'm of the Team Nora.
Team Nora.
Team Nora. Now Mallory's never going to talk to us again.
Yeah. Well, you could be Team Mallory and be sad.
I like Food and Wine. All right. So hopefully in your favor. And they add new countries every year. Now, when they add new countries, do they take away? Or add new pavilions? Not new countries, but new like stands?
I think there's some that kind of come and go. And there's some that they never... Because there's always some pavilion, it seems like, that's having like their 10th anniversary of the Brazil Pavilion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I highly recommend also getting the cookbook from Food and Wine.
Okay.
It's a great, like, when you go in the gift shop, there's lots of things you can get.
Yeah,
I always
see
it.
Yeah.
But it's a fun little way to experience some of those things. We've definitely taken it home and gone, hey, let's make this at home.
Do you get to go through, I've done it at Food and Garden, Flower and Garden. Can you go through Wonders of Life during that? Is it open?
During Food and Wine, yeah, it's generally where they
do the seminars.
Retail space, yeah.
It's a retail
space. I know they do during Flower and Garden. I wasn't
sure.
It's been a while. That's honestly, if you're a Disney nerd, which I'm sure you are if you're listening, it's just kind of fun because you can go back in time for a little bit because they really haven't done a whole lot in there. It looks pretty much like it did in the 90s, but it's fun. But there's not a whole lot going on there. There's retail and those kind of things, but you can't really see Body Wars anymore or anything like that, but it's still there.
Maybe they'll bring back Body Wars Food and Wine Edition, like, you know.
It's only
diabetes.
In the stomach.
The tour of the liver.
We got to stop it. That one got depressing real fast.
Yeah,
That'll probably get it out.
Well, no, what's like Body Wars? What is that? Like you had the white, you had to get the splinter out in Body Wars, right?
Yeah,
I just remember the white,
white blood cells.
The white blood cells. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, so this is the opposite of that. This is they're doing your blood work. Not
your insulin.
Insulin, yeah. Insulin production ceremony. All right. Let's take another question then. Why don't we get through these and we'll wrap it up. This is from, who had the last question? I did. I did Nora. So
Terry, take Terry.
Terry, take Tari.
I didn't bother, but I'll take Tari. What are the likelihood Disney will someday ever open up the World Showcase earlier than 11, especially during Food and Wine and similar events? We often find ourselves killing time in Future World in the morning just because we can't get in a World Showcase yet. If they would open Showcase and Festival stuff, we would go straight there at Rope Drop.
Well, they do have Frozen open now. So the question, but really nothing else is open during that. But what do you think about that, Lynn?
I mean, there are a couple of things are open. There's the Frozen stuff, as you mentioned. I think the French Pavilion is open for breakfast.
Yes.
The Boulangerie Pâtisserie.
See, I would hope that I don't ever want them to open it much earlier because I love going through World Showcase and you can walk through it and it's kind of empty. It's kind of relaxing. You can enjoy kind of the countries and then go have a pastry in France.
Yeah.
I think the problem also is that they could open it up, but people actually aren't going to start doing a lot of the stuff until lunchtime anyways.
There would have to be a major drawback there, like a thrill ride, a roller coaster, a new attraction, like Frozen, where they could...
Like Guardians of the Galaxy Morocco. Like you
said. Exactly. Totally
Moroccans of the Galaxy.
Right? Moroccans of the Galaxy. The you know, you may see something for the 25th where France gets a new attraction. You know, an actual ride, in which case I could see them, you know, opening up to that point. But you know, as far as the entire thing being open, it's years and years and years away.
It's a cast member issue as well. I mean, almost all those countries are people that are on the college program. So you're talking about having to, you know, when you start adding hours, you start having to add, you know, 5 or 10 people per country. That gets expensive and complicated pretty quick.
Does Disney have a time when they will start selling alcohol also? Like, is it that like park-wide, like 11 or 12? Because I know at Universal, at least it was 12, and you really couldn't get a drink before 12. Because I remember sitting at Margarita with my wife at like 11:55. They're like, give it 5 minutes, and we'll put in your order.
Well, I know that it Cava didn't open until 11:30.
So 11:30 there, maybe. But I wonder if that's something else. That, like, we don't really want people at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Morning bender.
Yeah, not good for the old PR. All right, then I'm going on vacation. This is from some name I can't say from Twitter, Enigma 89712 on Twitter said, I'm going on vacation, and my first day is the last day of Food and Wine. Will they still have everything out by then? They don't scale back.
No,
day one to close is pretty much the same, right?
There might be some merchandise that they're running out of.
But food-wise and drink-wise,
don't taper.
Yeah, that'd be strange. I mean, you know, if there's a really weird exotic ingredient, and I can't think of any off the top of my head that you know that they've misplanned. It might not be available, but I think everything that they're making is relatively straightforward.
All right, we got a couple more questions.
Yeah, next question is from Nick. What's the one booth you would add and one you'd take away?
Ooh.
All right, I'm gonna defer. I need to go look at the list real quick. So why don't somebody take this one? Len, you take it.
I mean, the ones to take away are pretty easy. I think Italy is not particularly adventurous.
Yeah.
Japan, not particularly adventurous. Canada, you know, if you can get everything there.
It's good to have the beer cheese soup available to people without having – I don't know why that's not a quick service item anyways. But
fair enough. Things that we haven't seen. They've never done like a molecular gastronomy thing.
Ooh.
Which would be
That'd
interesting.
Be cool.
I'm big into foams and gels and stuff like that. I think that would also be interesting. The other thing I would like to see is, and I don't know how hard this would be from a consistency perspective, but to have something from Disney's signature restaurants available. So, like, you guys has anyone been at the Disney cruise?
Yes.
So, like, where they bring out the initial sort of amuse-bouche of the grilled cheese sandwich with tomato soup in the cube.
Sure.
Something like that where you could see this is a chef expressing, you know, creativity and executing very well on very fresh ingredients. I think that would be super difficult.
I love that idea, though.
in the environment, but that's, you know, this is sort of what's new in the world of, you know, culinary innovation or something like that. I think that'd be an interesting booth to have. Again, I don't know how you'd pull it off. And every item would have to be $25, but it'd be something interesting to see.
I like the idea as a booth, the Disney Cruise Line booth.
Disney Cruise Line booth, yeah.
That'd be cool.
I think I would probably get rid of something like Ireland, just because it always seems like the food, like Irish food is hearty. And it, even though like the flavors sound good, like I think one year they had lobster in shepherd's pie or something like that. And but it's like, yeah, but it's still so hot outside. Like, I don't want hearty winter food in the middle of warm October Orlando. So even though, like, I know the beverage side of it's a little different, like, because they'll have, like, honey mead and stuff like that's kind of cool. But I would probably say that that's one that I could take or leave. And something to add, I think it'd be cool if they did, like, a city-specific booth.
Mm, very nice.
And, like, it's, like, a rotating thing. Like, even if they're American cities, like, do that in the American area, have an American city thing. So it's, like, this year's Chicago. And they have
deep dish pizza,
hot dogs, things like that, that are just nice. Kind of cool. And then maybe San Francisco or something.
Will just next got promoted
year.
To Imagineer.
Yeah, I just think that'd be kind of cool.
Culinary Imagineer. I'd love
you that. Know what they could do too, based on that? They could do like pizza, but do Chicago pizza and New York pizza and.
Right. Yeah. Like have a pizza booth or something to do that.
Yeah. With different styles. Yeah.
It's a great idea. We'll hold our own food and wine festival.
Yeah.
Off property. I mean, just as popular.
In Claremont.
Speaking of which, we'll get to that at the end. Man, I don't really have one to take away. I'm looking at the list. They're all pretty darn good. We do have to tell everyone that the pineapple Dole Whip with the adult whip is available again. Right. I believe so. So if you want your Dole Whip with some rum, that's a great place to stop.
Now, and it's also a great time of the year to pick up. An adult whip t-shirt.
That's true.
It's adultwhip.com. Right?
Adultwhip.com is that in our What Time is the 3 o'clock Shower t-shirts that are available there. And you can pick them up. And I've seen lots of people post their pictures in their adult whip shirts. And I wore mine. And yes, you get some questions from cast members. But that's part of the fun. So you can tell people you listen to it right here on WDW Today. And that's how you found out about us coining a phrase that somewhat is offensive. But it is what it is. All right, I'm going to take the last question here. This is from our friend Drunk at Disney, who's going to be with us out at the Day Less Prior to Festival in just a couple of weeks now. He's going to be out there on September 30th in Claremont, as Will said. He is a good one that I think we can all have our own answer on. Which makes a better table during Food and Wine, a trash can or a recycling bin? Discuss.
I mean, so, I have my answer.
Okay, go.
Recycling bin, because trash can, every once in a while, you get some woofs
it's kind of gross,
bad flavors that you don't
You know what
want.
You get at the recycling
We've all done
bin,
it.
Though? Bees, because of the sugar or the drinks.
Yeah. Lynn.
Recycling bin is fine. Also, the backs of tourists bending down to tie their shoes.
Yes.
You got to be
just
fast.
Be a quick eater, yeah.
Fast.
Another good option. I'm gonna go trash can because then you can just quickly go done.
Yeah, and they do also clean them pretty regularly.
Yeah,
I mean, like they you know
both are gross though. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
But that is the one negative I have to say. A Food and Wine, the entire experience always is like, what am I supposed to do with my hands?
Can you not have some bar table set up?
They have some table set
up. Can everything
not enough?
Can I just eat everything with my hands? Like, do we have to do something that's you know lava hot kefta?
So like, let's talk like. Let's talk some strategy. See, Leslie and I, we normally set up at a table, and then we kind of send each other off on missions to kind of...
That's...
Yeah.
You get
like
someone
kinda
to kind of claim a table and go out and make,
I
you
don't
know...
Do that.
You know, restock the
table. You do
get
the dirty looks, though, for old holding down the table.
Well, you know, it's their problem they didn't plan ahead and have the awesome plan, so...
Yeah.
Do you have a strategy, Lynn?
No, that's pretty much it. I kind of graze as I go along.
Yeah.
He's a grazer.
I feel the same. I just kind of walk. If I see something I like, I pick it up.
Yeah.
I have a nice something. And I usually eat it right by the pavilion. So if it's like, you know, I don't usually eat and walk as much. It'll be like, oh, I'll pick up this, you know, pocket pita thing and I'll eat it and then I'll throw it away and move on to the next one.
So do we go favorites in the show? Maybe like your favorite Food and Wine thing?
Oh, man. I have to think about that.
I'll give mine.
Okay.
My favorite, hands down, is the escargot and the pastry at France. I love escargot, but the French, really? The one at during Food and Wine, they're like little popcorn escargot. They're literally delightful.
Almost mini-sized?
Yes. You get three on a plate and
I'm just looking through
tasty.
The list right now, and some of the Korean barbecue stuff I really like.
Yeah.
But I just accidentally popped down to drinks and some random ones. Obviously, the M-Hops beer is available, so you can get that, which I thought was only available on Hanson Weekend, but according to this, maybe it's available the whole time. Kurt Russell has his Goldie Chardonnay, which Kurt Russell, as we know, the last words that Walt Disney ever said. Fun fact, I don't know if it's true or not, but people say that. And the last one I saw, if you're a drinker, and if you're listening to this far, you probably are, a Cigar City local, you know, out in Tampa. They have their beers there during there. And they also have the Lassiter wine is available. And as a member of the Lassiter Wine Club, I have to say, it's actually pretty good. Yeah. So if you are kind of wanting a little bit of Disney more into even your beverages, check out the Lassiter Wine Club.
Lynn, what about you?
I like the stuff in New Zealand. I've had the last year I had the lamb meatball.
Yes,
spicy chicken. That's really good. Also, steamed lip green lip mussels is also really good. And the venison was not as gamey as you would think venison would be.
I like venison. So, and
what is the venison? Is it like the,
where do they have
the venison from Artist Point? Kind of.
No. It's in like a red wine sauce.
Huh.
It's a small bit of venison, but it's seared. So it's like having almost like having a tenderloin cube, like a small 1-inch cube of tenderloin. It's not bad, but everything in New Zealand is actually pretty good. I'm not a huge fan of the wine, so I don't drink anything there. But it's great if you want to bring some tequila along.
Well, I hope we answered you guys' questions. Will, I think you're gonna pull one out for
us. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna have to agree with you. I think the Korean food is probably my favorite. Yeah. You know, this is one thing I thought about earlier, and then I wasn't sure, but I just double checked. They don't have a Vietnamese food stand.
Some banh mi.
And that's perfect street food. Like, that's perfect for Food and Wine. I don't know why they don't have that. Sorry. I should have said that earlier about what they should have added, but I liked my cities thing. So I'll say South Korea, the food they have there is good, but I want to see a banh mi next year.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for our food.
The
and wine
Disney
special.
Culinary team needs to get Will Haynes on the phone. That's all I'm saying. They really
I could change things there.
Game changer, Will Haynes. All right, guys. Let's wrap it up with one final talk about our favorite Casa Noble tequila. And it sounds like we're sponsored by them. We are not.
I wish they were sending us by the case. If our friends at Casa Noble are
listening, feel free to reach out. But Casa Noble tequila, this is the Extra Añejo single barrel. Available. The Cava is rolling it out for Food and Wine. Again, we had the opportunity to test it and sample it today, and it's fantastic.
Folks, you're going to love barrel 486.
It's my favorite barrel.
That's hashtag barrel 486.
Hashtag barrel 486.
That's our new band. What I like about this, though, guys, is the people at La Cava are just awesome. So what I want to say is, if you're going to go to Food and Wine and you're going to have a tequila, go over to La Cava. Get out of the heat for a minute. Enjoy it. Try that Casa Noble Extra Añejo. I think it's safe to say, and I think you guys can. Is it the official beverage, the food and wine beverage of WDW today?
Yes. Yeah, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I agree with it.
I'm good with that. So, guys, if you're there, please take place in order. Tell them you heard about it on WDW Today. Take a picture. Tweet us at WDW Today Podcast. Also, tweet at Cava de Tequila.
And hashtag it. Barrel 486.
486. And, go out there and support them, because we had this awesome opportunity, and I can't thank them enough for letting us try something a little ahead of time.
A wee sample.
Yes, it was awesome. So thank you guys so much. And that's going to do it for today's show. Hopefully you heard enough information about Food and Wine. If you have other questions, feel free to reach out. We're always going to be taking them. Hey, next week we're going to be going back to just some normal questions, not just Food and Wine related. But we hope you enjoyed that. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to everyone like Off Kilter, the greatest band in podcasting. And they're going to be joining us in goodness me, what are we talking about, guys, here? 20-something days? 23 days-ish? If you listen to this on release date, September 30th out in Claremont. And we want to see you guys out there to the DLP Fest. That's dlpfest.com, the unofficial Walt Disney World celebration. We're celebrating the 45th, which is actually the next day over at the Magic Kingdom. But that day, we're going to celebrate with all your favorite theme park bands under one roof, on one stage, for the first time ever. Bands like Off Kilter, the bands formerly known as Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. Of course, the British Invasion, Return to Zero, which were called Four for a Dollar back. You remember them? They opened up the Beauty and the Beast show. They were like the pretend roadies. Great show. and so many awesome other people. The Dream Finder, Ron Schneider, is going to be out there. And obviously us hosting the thing. So many people that you know up in the Disney Parks community. If you're involved, you got the Big Fat Panda, you got Michelle Atwood, you got so many other great people. They're going to be out there celebrating their love for Walt Disney World. The show starts at 7. We got pre-gaming going on at 6 with Guitar Dan. And it's going to be a blast. Use coupon code on the website, DLPTalent10. DLP Talent 10, and you get 10% off your ticket order. And again, those tickets are available right now at dlpfest.com. It's going to be a blast, and I can't wait to see you guys all there. Also, special thanks to circa1955.com. After that mid-roll ad read, I'm not so sure, but they are amazing, and you guys have just been a great supporter of her and their whole team over at circa1955. If you want to get these candles, and not the one we smelled that's still lingering in the air, go to circa1955.com right now and sign up. And of course, our friends at Off to Neverland Travel. If you're booking your next vacation, you know what to do.
Just pack.
Well, first, go to neverland.com, get with the Magic Maker. And if you want to become a Magic Maker, reach out as well. You never know. That may be your calling. You didn't know. You like planning your vacations, Walt Disney World? You may like planning other people's vacations to Walt Disney World. It's pretty cool.
Speaking of packing, I'm all packed, and I won't be on the show in the studio.
You're not packing.
No, I'm not packing. And I won't be on the show in the studio.
I mean, like, you don't have a gun.
No gun. Not today. I will not be on the show in the studio with the guys, but I will be, like, calling in from the Disney Magic in the Mediterranean and Disneyland Paris.
Very nice.
So, and then obviously I'll have full trip report when I get back.
Enjoy that Space Mountain mission, too. It's fantastic.
Yeah, looking forward to that and the hospitality of the French.
Yes.
So
I've heard they're real nice.
That Disneyland Paris is fun. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Disney Magic. I haven't been on it since they did the refurb and the new restaurant there, so I'm excited about that. So be listening to the next couple of shows, and I'll have maybe some breaking news from the ship.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And
I'm Lynn Testa.
Yay, Lynn Testa. And that'll do it for today's show. We'll see you on the next show. That was an old hatchback. There you go.